Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another edition of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, and make sure, everyone, to subscribe and like this show on YouTube and wherever you are getting this podcast. And if you feel the need to drop me an email, it's leftoflansing@gmail.com. The point of this podcast, why I put it all together, is to highlight the progressive movement in the state of Michigan and to share and to also press a progressive viewpoint and a progressive agenda here on the show. Now, it's only been just over 2 months of co-presidents Elon Musk and dear leader Donald Trump, and the people are waking up. I mean, I think that there were already people who were awake. I think after that initial period where everyone was sort of just feeling defeated and needed a little bit of a break to kind of regather their thoughts and regather their energy, I believe thanks to what Trump and Musk have been doing here in just the first couple of months, that has really reawakened the population here. And an Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll released this week revealed that just 4 in 10 approve of Trump's handling of the economy and also on trade issues. No surprise there. Dear Leader and his buddy Elon are also just getting 41% support on how they are handling or mishandling Social Security. Yeah, maybe it doesn't help when Musk calls a plan that 70 million Americans rely on as a Ponzi scheme and then, you know, threatens to slash the Social Security Administration so much so that corporate authoritarians inside the regime can say, see, government doesn't work. See, look here, everybody. Look how much of a failure it is. We have a better idea. Tell you what, let's privatize the whole thing. And maybe it also doesn't help when its own Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, said that his own mother wouldn't care if she missed a Social Security check. Now, Howard Lutnick is a multi-billionaire Wall Street investment bankster who showered Trump and MAG Republicans with millions and millions in campaign contributions. As The Street reported, Lutnick's net worth is around 4 to 8 times that of another wealthy member of Trump's cabinet, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, whose wealth is estimated around $500 million. You know, I believe that Lutnick's mom really could care less if she doesn't get a Social Security check, and that's because she'll be just fine without one. But when you pack your regime with out-of-touch but yet untouchable people from the billionaire donor class, this is what you get. They're all about gutting essential services, essential programs, popular ones, mind you, like Social Security, because they view it as a drain on the country to care for old people. They look at old people as kind of obsolete. I mean, if they're not really doing anything anymore and they're not really creating anything anymore, what's the purpose of old people? I mean, that's why these corporate authoritarians want to raise the retirement age. They believe that you should work, work, work some more, work until you drop dead. And it's why they also view Medicare as a waste of our society, because they wonder, should we really be paying money in order to help people live a little longer and a little more comfortably? It's why they want to go after Medicaid. They not only view old people, but they also hold people with disabilities in even lower regard. They view them as a bigger drain on our society, which is why they're hoping to slash Medicaid by $800 billion. These guys, they don't care about those who've given to our society, those who've worked hard, those whose taxes for real work are the same for those billionaires who are taxed at the same rate for investing money. These are the same guys, too, who refuse to even bring up one obvious solution to ensuring that Social Security remains solvent and healthy for a long, long time. That is raising the tax cap for Social Security. The cap right now is somewhere around $168,000, and that means those who begin earning money over that amount are no longer taxed. As retirement expert Teresa Giladucci said in a Forbes article titled, 200 People Already Paid Their Social Security Taxes, Happy New Year, she reported that Elon Musk reached his 2024 earnings cap at 12:04 a.m. on New Year's Day 2024, and that it only took 2 hours for Tim Cook of Apple to reach his cap, or Tim Apple, as Dear Leader calls him. I mean, that's insane. You'll never, ever hear the billionaire donor class or the MAGA Republican Party, which is bankrolled by the billionaire class, ever suggest such an easy fix. They'd rather raise the retirement age and force people to work while they are old. So you don't have to guess why Trump's numbers are low when it comes to Social Security. And according to that same poll, Trump's garnering only 43% support in terms of operating the federal government. And now I am stunned at such a revelation, considering how well and smoothly things are running with inflation rising and moves to cut spending for our food banks, Social Security offices, or the Veterans Affairs Office are going full steam ahead. You know, actually, Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins, he visited a room full of veterans and their families and VA service providers in Howell this week, and he said that despite plans of gashing the agency by 80,000 people, that everything will be just fine, and that he, Dear Leader, and Elon will always, always, always put veterans first. Of course, I trust that they've always got veterans first and foremost on their minds. I mean, Trump only called those who died on D-Day suckers and used his daddy's connections to get him out of serving in the Vietnam War due to, what was it? Oh yeah, bone spurs. I remember pointing that whole issue out about Trump and his bone spurs. I pointed that out on my last radio job in Saginaw back during Dear Leader's first term because his doctor was claiming that he was the most healthy president in presidential history or something like that. And I got calls and emails telling me how wrong I was and that it's so obvious that he's healthy and that he obviously got better. Now, I would respond that it was amazing that the bone spurs suddenly got better right after the war and the people were still defending him, which is why it was becoming quite evident to me early on that he was giving off these Dear Leader vibes to his followers. And look, I'm okay with those who found ways to avoid the draft and that stupid, wasteful war. It's just that I hold respect for those who actually stuck up for their beliefs and spoke out against the war, rather than Trump, who said nothing about the war, but allowed others to take his place. I mean, I guess if he was so much about the war, he would have just gone. What a coward on all fronts. But that's not breaking any news. Anyway, VA Secretary Collins apparently appeared with Michigan MAGA Republican Congressman Tom Barrett for the event, which is great. Really, that is great, considering Barrett's been MIA for town halls and meetings with his constituents here for a while. So that's good news, I suppose. Now, Michigan Advance's Kyle Davidson attended the event and reported that the VA department has added more than 80,000 employees since 2019 fiscal year, including tens of thousands of employees hired to address claims under the 2022 PACT Act claims, which expanded benefits to veterans exposed to burn pits. And these are the cuts that Elon, Trump, MAGA Republicans are fighting for. Gutting a workforce that is intending to help address VA claims and also for those who were exposed to burn pits. Now, they claim to care about the veterans and all about government efficiency, but this is about doing government on the cheap. That's all this is about. Something of a failure that we saw happen right here in Michigan during the Rick Snyder years. How did that really go for us running business on the cheap? Now, I was glad that Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, who is running for governor, Congresswomen Debbie Dingell and Rashida Tlaib, and hey, even Democratic State Representative Joe Tate, showed up at a protest rally in Ann Arbor over the weekend to voice their opposition to Trump and Elon's moves to not only gut the VA, but to also nullify collective bargaining agreements with the unions that work within the VA. Yeah, in case you missed that story, Trump signed an executive order eliminating any current negotiated agreements with federal government unions, literally throwing out those agreements in the trash can. And these unions represent the VA, the Department of Homeland Security, the State Department, the Department of Energy, the EPA, the Treasury Department, Department of Justice, and more. I mean, this was a huge, huge move, a devastating move to those who fought to earn living wages and benefits for workers inside our government. And it also was a shot across the bow for all unions, since while this is about public unions right now, it's also about weakening the private sector unions as well, like the UAW. So you see, there's always another ulterior motive when it comes to these so-called efficient cuts. It's about hurting the people. It's about hurting unions or blunting the union movements, which helps improve the standard of living for so many Americans. It's about attacking the working class. Garland Gilchrist told the Detroit Free Press at that Ann Arbor event last weekend, the fundamental promise of being a servicewoman or serviceman, that's being broken. Of course it's being broken. Same as the promise of ensuring those who paid into Social Security would be protected, or those who are on Medicaid. Medicaid helps millions of Michiganders, including children, and also rural Michiganders, 120,000 of them. As Democratic Michigan State Senator Sarah Anthony noted on Twitter, did you know that 1 in 4 Michiganders are enrolled in Medicaid? Republican tax cuts will gut Medicaid for over 2.6 million Michiganders. For those living in rural areas, Medicaid is especially important to providing life-saving coverage and keeping healthcare providers open. We must do more at the state level to combat this. She's right. You know, just about 30% of Michiganders receive Medicaid, and that's what Trump, Elon, and MAGA Republicans like Tom Barrett, Lisa McClain, Bill Huizenga, John James, Jack Bergman, and Tim Walberg are all trying to cut. We should be doing more to combat it, and we should be doing more to keep our promises, but that promise is being broken by MAGA Republicanism. Why? Because Elon, dear leader, and Republicans in Congress need to funnel that money away from the vets, away from older people, away from children, away from students, and give that money back up to their elite billionaire corporate donor class, the untouchables. Now, the rest of us here in the working class, we're always the ones told to do all the sacrificing. You never hear rich people being told it's their time to sacrifice. Now, Michigan MAGA Congressman Tom Barrett said that he attended that appearance in Howell with the VA secretary because he also needed some reassurances that VA services would still work even though Elon's already cut over 2,000 jobs. And I'm sure Barrett needs those insurances. I mean, I'm guessing he's not completely blind. He's seeing the rising tension happening within his district, even if he tries to ignore it. And I think he even knows cutting VA services, not the best idea if I want to get reelected. And that's the thing. Like all these so-called tough, tell it like it is, MAGA Republicans, Tom Barrett is petrified to face his voters. That's really strange, though, considering how Dear Leader has nothing but the best plans, nothing but the best people, and nothing but the best priorities. He's the best of the best, the healthiest, I'm always told. And for such popularity, you'd think MAGA Republicans like Tom Barrett, Bill Huizenga, Lisa McClain, Jack Bergman, John James, or Tim Walberg would have a breeze of a time, would love talking with the people because their policies are so popular with the people. But of course, they don't show up. But that's where you have to give credit to county Democratic Party efforts or other efforts like the Progressive Change outfit known as Indivisible, which is also hosting all of these empty chair town halls, giving people a venue to voice their opposition and downright anger over what MAGA Republicans are doing to this country and to the state of Michigan. Actually, there's another big event happening this Saturday, April 5th, and it's happening all across the country. It's called Hands Off, and it's a grassroots movement kind of an event, and you can find a location near you. It's being put up by Indivisible groups in association with many other progressive groups, including unions and more. And all you have to do is visit handsoff2025.com. That's handsoff2025.com to find an event that's happening close to you in Michigan and anywhere else if you're listening to this podcast across the country. There's one, for instance, happening in Mount Pleasant that's being organized by Indivisible Central Michigan. There's one happening in Traverse City, organized by Traverse Indivisible and Leelanau Indivisible. There's one happening in the D at the Detroit Institute of Arts. Actually, there are a couple happening in Detroit. There's one in Battle Creek and Holt, Grand Rapids, all across the state. Again, visit handsoff2025.com. That's handsoff2025.com to sign up and learn where you can go. And I believe, let me look this up real quick, that it's all happening at the same time on April the 5th. Yes, it's happening from 1 to 3 p.m., and here's the way Traverse Indivisible describes the event, and I quote, "This peaceful, fun, family-friendly event will be a celebration of democracy where we can tell the current administration to keep its hands off our jobs, money, healthcare, government services, and constitutional rights. It's a great opportunity to set aside partisanship and unite as Americans again, safely supporting each other as we lift our voices together. You know, I'm telling you, attending these rallies can really help you realize that you aren't alone and that you and many others are against the billionaire corporate authoritarian takeover of our government as they raid Medicaid, Social Security, the VA, farm programs, public health, unions, and more. But even more than that, it's getting people politically activated and engaged. And it's something I wish that Democratic leadership here within Michigan would kind of embrace. Well, Democratic leadership across the country, I wish that it would really embrace it all. Don't get me wrong. There are some Democrats out there pushing a strong message, a strong progressive message like AOC and Bernie Sanders, Tim Walz, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, just to name a few. And as I'm recording right now, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker is carrying out a long filibuster in which he is speaking out against what Trump and Elon Musk are doing to the working class of this country. And that is great. And not only that, but people like AOC and Tim Walz and Pritzker and Bernie Sanders, they're countering the Trump-Musk regime's corporate takeover with a progressive working class vision or message of reinvesting in our people and in our resources again. You believe Trump and Musk are about reinvesting in the people again? What kind of evidence do we see there? None. And I haven't even said a word yet about how they're gutting the IRS, which was going after rich tax cheaters, you know, their people. But the people are taking to the streets, and it's a grassroots effort, and it's the people begging for others to hear them and to fight for them. Longtime liberal talk show host Tom Hartman wrote the following this week on his blog, and he said, "Republicans are leading public opinion while Democrats are trying to chase it. That does not work. You're here." That's the message I've been pushing for quite some time here on this platform. Because here's the thing, these rallies are fighting against and pushing back against the MAGA Republican effort designed to hurt the working class. And that's needed because there has to be this massive wall of resistance against this MAGA Republican movement. I'm talking about this groundswell of grassroots resisting that we are seeing happening across Michigan and across the United States. But in order to make this into a forceful movement, a change movement, it's all up to us to force the Democratic Party to acknowledge this movement, a movement where people are tired of watching their rights and their bank accounts erode, where they are tired of watching universities like U of M bend the knee towards Trump's white Christian nationalists by getting rid of its DEI programs in fear of losing millions in federal funding, the people who are tired of watching programs that they've paid into so that way they can help care for themselves and for their loved ones get gutted, the people who are tired of hearing about government efficiency when $0 are being cut back for big tech or for big oil and gas subsidies, and those who are tired of watching people lose their due process for simply protesting. The people are tired and they want Democrats to fight back and to quit saying, hey, let's find bipartisanship, which is impossible to find against a group willing to destroy the Constitution. I mean, are you hearing me, Michigan Senators Gary Peters and Alyssa Slotkin? Are you hearing me, Governor Gretchen Whitmer? I mean, speaking of MIA, where has Big Gretch gone? I know. She's off doing trade missions and plans on giving a speech on bipartisan ways to help business growth and defense. But really, what's she doing? See, I'm talking about messaging. I'm talking about presenting a vision because I'm old enough to recall a time when Republicans took control of Congress for the first time in decades back in 1994 during Clinton's first term. Yes, the economy was still a little sluggish at that time, and Big Pharma helped Republicans scare our grandparents to death that a universal healthcare system would kill them. Hey, how's that still working out for us? How's that system still working out for us? But Republicans also had their contract with America plank, which was easy to understand and provided a counter to the Democratic Party. Look, that whole idea sucked and hurt many Americans, such as when Clinton passed the law gutting welfare and the horrible three strikes and outlaw, but still it provided an alternative. Democrats, these grassroots organizers of ordinary working class Americans are giving you the blueprint. They're giving you the blueprint if you want to accept it. The people are tired of getting built and robbed by the corporate authoritarians of the MAGA Republican Party. Fight for a rise in the tax cap and Social Security. Expand Medicare to cover more people. Raise the corporate tax rates again. Raise capital gains taxes again. Protecting public education and unions. Advocate for a cut in corporate welfare and corporate subsidies. And here's an idea, listen to this, getting a majority in Congress. to pass tariffs that'll be there for good, cementing them so that there's both time for corporations to get used to them, and then it puts in no uncertain terms that these tariffs will be here to stay. You see, in my eyes, the problem is that we've come to accept here in this country that cheaper things for cheaper pay is the way to go. Now, I keep hearing from Dear Leader's followers how his tariffs will bring jobs back here. Well, not in the way he's doing it. No, they won't. It'll just make businesses sit and wait it out until he's gone or until he realizes how his tariffs are hurting the American consumer. It's not a sustainable practice, but do people realize that if we truly, as a country, want tariffs to bring jobs back to America, that we'd have to pay more because the workers here in the United States expect to be paid living wages? And that would also mean that unions would also benefit and thereby help the people. So I've always been for tariffs, but it has to be a strategy that transcends presidents and is a long-term strategy. And tariffs to punish our allies because we want to extract minerals from them, that's an awful way to go about it, since Trump's tariffs against Canada will hurt us even more. So there are just a few ideas. And what I'm just trying to say is we need the Democratic Party to be the working class party again. I feel like ever since NAFTA, the Democrats stopped wanting to represent the working class party. Last week, I played that clip for you in which New York Senator Charles Schumer said back in 2016 that Democrats don't need working class voters anymore and they can just siphon off suburban Republican voters. Well, how's that working out for us? We need to shed the Mark Penn, Dick Morris, Clintonite, neoliberal economic policy failures of the 1990s, and it needs to embrace, the party needs to embrace being a strong advocate again for workers. Like Democratic State Representative Kerry Reingans out of Ann Arbor, who's pushing for an expansion of the healthcare program known as MyCare and have it become a publicly funded healthcare insurance covering all Michiganders without copays or coverage limits. That is bold. That is visionary. And she's also got proposals for affordable housing legislation. I mean, we've got some really good progressive fighters like Kerry Reingans in the State House and in the State Senate who are trying to push for a strong working class agenda, an agenda that's anathema to the so-called populist MAGA Republican movement. And that's why I'm begging Governor Whitmer to show up and give us her vision and to counter what's happening to our state and our country. I feel like somebody told Gretchen Whitmer to stay low and speak like a fictional centrist, speak like they would speak, and don't press the envelope and don't do anything rash, like, you know, stick up for Michigan workers. That's not what the people want. And the polling is showing that to be the case. Donald Trump is showing already in just over 2 months to be a failure in economic terms. The people want fighters for the working class, not someone who will work with Republicans on pushing the Overton window further and further and further to the right to the benefit of the rich corporate donor class. Look, we've done that, and look where it's gotten us. And I'm talking in terms of immigration as well, as many are being shipped to Salvadorian prisons while having their due process rights trashed, including that father from Maryland who was accidentally rounded up, sent to El Salvador, and now we can't find him to bring him back. What did we think was going to happen? And yet so many Democrats caved on the issue of immigration all the time and fought Republicans on their turf. There were ways to present a vision for immigration reform rather than just fighting on Republican terms. We need a working class vision from Democrats, be it in state government or in the federal government, but we need that vision faster rather than later. And for those who refuse to want to be part of the working class solution and would rather adhere to the same failed neoliberal agenda which helped give us Donald Trump, then they should get ready to receive a primary challenge next year. You're listening to LOL.
Left of Lansing podcast. If you truly want to get Pat fired up, talk about Tigers baseball or how you think the 90s produced the worst music of any decade. You've been warned. Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter at leftoflansing. Here's Pat.
Look, I need to cement this point real quick, and I forgot to bring it up before taking that little break. So everything that we are seeing, including this insane tariff policy by Trump, isn't just the idiots running the store. Okay, no, they're running the store so that way they can rob it from us. It's Jarrett Yates Sexton, co-host of the Muckrake podcast, and also his site is awesome. It's called Dispatches from a Collapsing State Board. He wrote this on Blue Sky, and I quote, "Please, I'm begging people to stop responding to every economic update and tariff announcement as if they're just screwing up and as if the demolition of our economy isn't beneficial to oligarchs and the wealth class that wants to gobble up resources and exploit us more effectively. Part of actually resisting authoritarianism is understanding the nature of capitalism, the incentives that hide behind conventional understanding, and beginning to leave behind convenient frameworks that obscure the material conditions and realities that drive politics and actions. By saying they don't know what they're doing is a gift to the wealth and oligarchical classes that employ armies of cronies who study every opportunity for advancement and profit and consolidation of power. Yes, many of these people are individually stupid, but there's way more than individuals here. Creating an economic crisis allows opportunity, fire bargain sales, and further monopolization, the shifting of capitalism to different controllers and systems, including crypto and tech oligarch ownership versus state level. It creates a need for rushed industrialization without protections. I keep trying to explain this, but the authoritarians are playing a different game. Liberals are stuck in what was normal as if it hasn't shifted completely. This is where they take advantage. People's inability to even imagine what they're capable of while they hold on to the ashes." And that's the truth. I mean, Jared nailed it right there. By sending so many people to the unemployment lines, gutting essential services, crashing the market with short-term tariff insanity, it'll help create a place where the rich will raid the store, creating more monopolies, leaving us with limited choices for very limited economic worth for the people. I mean, it's a shock doctrine for the American people. That's what it is, a shock doctrine. And don't forget, as the guys at Midas Touch wrote last fall before the election, and I quote, "Elon Musk has offered a sobering preview of Donald Trump's economic plans for America if he is reelected, revealing that a period of intentional temporary hardship is on the horizon for American households." Temporary hardship. Rather than cautioning against it, Musk described this hardship as necessary and inevitable, supporting Trump's blueprint for restructuring the economy by slashing government programs. Musk's remarks, shared in a telephone town hall organized by his America PAC, indicate that he and Trump see economic pain to average Americans as a necessary cost to their policy goals. You see, everyone, this is about forcing hardship for many in the working class, just so the authoritarians, the corporate authoritarians, can gather more and more power. And MAGA Republicans are allowing it to happen. Email me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. I'd like to remind everyone to check out this week's episode of a podcast called The Point of Disorder Podcast, because yours truly will be a guest host on their show here this week. Now, Point of Disorder is a joint effort with the good people at Distill Social and Guerrilla Republic, and so we will take some time talking Michigan and national politics. And part of their podcast description on their website says that it offers masterful blend of expert ramblings and other things. Well, if rambling is what they want, then, as you know, they'll definitely get it from me, I'm sure. But I am looking forward to it. So check out the Point of Disorder podcast. And I believe it's with Gina and Adrian this week. And you can get it wherever you get your podcast or visit pointofdisorder.transistor.fm. And I'll provide links to it as well wherever you're listening to this week's episode. Time now for the Left of Lansing Last Call. Another part of government that MAGA Republicans have forever wanted to destroy, of course, is education. It's why wrestling lady Linda McMahon was appointed by Dear Leader to cut essential funding for K-12 and for higher education. And to make it fail, to make public education fail, is essential towards their voucher scheme. And the Department of Education announced this week that it was pulling back or eliminating over $40 million in spending for projects that Michigan school districts were promised that they'd be reimbursed for. $40 million. 27 school districts, according to Fox 2 in Detroit, are going to be hit by this, including Flint, Pontiac, and Hamtramck. You know, that's not really a nice way for Dear Leader to show thanks to all those who decided to back him in that last election in Hamtramck. But I think that those who believed he'd be different are indeed witnessing how he's different, all right, but in a more detrimental way. Fox 2 also says the money totaling nearly $42 million would have been spent on the heating, ventilation, windows, air conditioning, and other building infrastructure. Ah, but do the kids really need heat in the winter, air conditioning in the late summer and early fall, or ventilation? I mean, they can all just get sick. Who cares? It's just public schools. Now, this money came from COVID relief funds. These schools were counting on them. And now Trump and Linda McMahon are saying, no, we don't care. It's not just about punishing kids. It's about punishing the school districts and ensuring that they don't get the infrastructure upgrades as their schools fall apart. The State Board of Education President Dr. Pamela Pugh called the move by the Trump administration an affront to her that the U.S. Department of Education would walk back its commitment to projects that protect the health and safety of the students, including the schools and communities that were hit especially hard by COVID-19. Now, this comes after a report from Chalkbeat showing that Michigan's K-12 school buildings need $23 billion of work over the next decade. Now, this new comprehensive review by the School Finance Research Foundation, it was a board created by state lawmakers to figure out exactly what K-12 schools need in the state, shows what is really needed to get our public education system back up to par just for students. And we're just talking on an infrastructure basis. Of course, Governor Whitmer and Michigan Democrats did pass some education bills over the last couple of years that provided more money for districts that really needed it. But that was just the start. And as Chalkbeat notes, Michigan does not provide direct funding to schools for facilities. Districts must seek voter approval for funds to improve buildings and to make major repairs. And in rural and northern Michigan communities, districts have had to defer maintenance work because it's becoming harder for them to pass bond proposals to fund facility improvement projects. I mean, this is a pretty important situation that's developing here. But guess what? The best part? None of these needs will be met in the next few years. As Trump and Linda McMahon are busy slashing federal funding for education, MAGA Republicans in Congress are all too eager to hurt public school education in a number of ways, and allowing school infrastructure to crumble under their watch is really of no concern to them. To them, that's just part of the overall war of dismantling public education for good and forcing kids into for-profit charter schools. Oh, and these for-profit charter schools will have very little oversight to see exactly what's happening and who's collecting all the dough in those schools while the kids don't get a top-notch education. But hey, it doesn't matter, because to the right-wing viewpoint, they won't be getting indoctrinated anymore by those teachers' unions. Hey, wait, what was I just talking about just a few moments ago about the rich blowing up the system so the very few wealthy, the wealthy few can buy it all up and then cash in to create more monopolies and more wealth again?
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
That's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. I had to record this week's show a little earlier and faster than normal, since I will be on the Social Disorder podcast here this week. And then I'm visiting my dad for the Detroit Tigers opening day in the D on Friday. Hopefully it won't be too cold. Seems like this bad winter storm will be long gone by Friday, but I'm looking forward to that day as always. I'm sorry, I did record this show before we learned of the results in that Wisconsin state Supreme Court race. And if Elon was indeed able to pay off just enough voters to hurt the working class, women's rights, and democracy in the entire state of Wisconsin. So I will have more to say on that next week. Again, if you want to take part in those hands-off rallies that are happening across the state this Saturday, just visit handsoff2025.com and it'll put you in touch with those that you need to talk to. And if you need to talk to me, that's leftoflansing@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.